All right, guys, welcome to episode number 2 of Business Hustle. I'm very fortunate to have my good friend Jamie Holt here. I've known Jamie for a while. He and I have worked on a few projects together, and normally we're co-hosting a podcast, the Holt PT podcast, but today he is my guest on Business Hustle. So welcome, Jamie.
Thank you, Alex. I'm really excited to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now. Why did I invite you on this podcast?
Well, other than my stellar good looks.
We're on radio, essentially.
Former tennis abilities. No, I'm just kidding. My wife and I started Holt Physical Therapy and Performance Training, a PT practice here in Raleigh, North Carolina, a little over 3 years ago. And in physical therapy school, they don't teach us anything about business. We don't learn anything about it at all. And so it was kind of a leap of faith. And I feel like I'm pretty smart, and she's definitely very smart. And so we said we can kind of figure out on our own. And we've been very fortunate with loyal customers, like yourselves, great friends, great people helping out with the business. And the business has grown tenfold more than we ever thought that it would. And so I think there's, a lot of good reasons for that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of my biggest contentions when I talk with people is that when you have small business owners, there's two sides of every small business. There's the actual craft, whether you're a physical therapist, whether you're a car repair guy, and then there's the business side of it. And so many times you'll get people that are good at their craft but aren't good at the business side of it because they don't teach you that stuff in PT school or doctor school or whatever.
That's what I can say, and doctors fall on this quite a bit, and they – think, I'll just run my own practice and you can be an excellent doctor. But, sometimes good doctors aren't good at running businesses. That's why I usually hire a practice manager or something like that.
But, So PT school. So what's involved in PT school? So take us back to the college days. What does it take to become a PT?
So back when I was in school a long, long time ago, I graduated undergraduate in 95. Oof. And they only, East Carolina University,
shout out.
They only, I was a second graduating class that had a master's program. So you did 4 years of undergraduate, usually in exercise physiology, biology, chemistry, exercise science, something like that. And then you apply to graduate school. When I went, it was a 2-year master's program. Now all schools are a 3-year doctorate program.
Wow. So you'd have to get a master's and a doctorate now, or is it?
It's just straight DPT. Yep. I think they added a little bit more clinical rotation time, right. And they also added maybe another research class. But the curriculum didn't really change that much. So it's really 7 years of college, 4 years undergrad, and then 3 years to get your DPT. That's a pretty competitive field. I mean, I think when I applied for PT school, there's maybe 4 colleges in North Carolina that had it. And now, off the top of my head, maybe there's 9 or 10.
Oh, wow, so they've doubled.
Yeah, just because of the demand. Right. So it's definitely competitive. So
where'd you go out of PT school?
So right out of PT school, I grew up in Hickory, North Carolina. I need to give another shout out to my Hickory homies. A hospital in town was kind enough to give me a $5,000 scholarship to go towards PT school, and my obligation was to go back and work for them for a year after I graduated. And so I went back to Hickory, a place called Piedmont Therapy, outpatient orthopedics, and spent a year there. And I was very fortunate that all my PTs that I worked with at that point, there were 3 other guys, and all had 15 years of experience.
Oh, wow.
Already. And so I got to be like a sponge, just pick their brain as much as I could. So started out in Hickory, and I always had this, dream, passion, desire to potentially work with a professional team or something like that. And if I did not want to work with a single A Hickory Crawdads in baseball team in
Hickory. Lots of shout outs today.
I needed to move and do something. And so moved to Raleigh, a little bit more opportunities, and kind of halfway between Hickory and ECU. And so I've been in Raleigh since 2000.
Cool. So when you got to Raleigh, did you go straight to APC?
No. So I worked for Rec Sports Medicine.
Okay.
For, I want to say, maybe 3 years or so. And then I ran Wake Med North, the PT clinic for Wake Med up here for a few years. And then I wanted to kind of see what a private practice was like. So I went to work at a local private practice for a couple years just to kind of get the mindset,
see what it was like.
And I had some good experiences there and some
Well, you know, what was the biggest difference between private practice versus like the more hospital clinical setting?
Well, when I was clinic manager for the hospital, there's just a lot of red, and it's every hospital, every right. big group, a lot of red tape. Like, for example, I needed a coat rack in the clinic, you know, and it took
14
like,
forms.
And it took 6 months and 8 people came by to figure out where you're going to put it, right. you know, and things like that. And so, you know, that's just the way hospital is such a big organization. Every right. hospital, they have to have, you know, procedures in place. So I went to private practice and there are some good things I learned about there. And there's some very bad things that I didn't like. So that kind of soured me to private practice, you know, yeah. for a little bit. And so I went to go work for a large orthopedic group, Raleigh Orthopedics, and they were fantastic and got to learn a lot from all the doctors there, the PTs. I worked at the main office, which was on Glenwood Avenue at the time, for a year before APC was built, and that's kind of the sports performance clinic for Raleigh Orthopedics, and I was there for 10 years, so wow. I had a great time there.
So what made you want to go start your own clinic? What was the big driving factor? I mean, obviously, besides, you know, the potential for income and stuff like that. I mean, was that a driving factor?
No,
or was
I mean, the income had nothing to do with it. It was more, it was two things. It was stability and security.
Okay.
And then kind of getting to do things my own way. I was well compensated, you know, working for Raleigh Ortho.
Right.
And, but I also realized that you can hire a new grad and pay, you know, a fraction of what I make, and who's to say that 5 years down the road that wasn't going to happen? And then I'm an older guy with a high salary request, and it's harder to find a job. My dad, you know, his position was eliminated, you know, 2 or 3 years before retirement, and it made it difficult for him. And I hear it all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And I get, as a business owner now, I see there's a point of diminishing returns,
right?
You know, what you pay somebody and what you get back, but you know, so it's where I wanted to have control.
Okay.
And also wanted to just kind of do things my own way. And I think at that point, I've been a PT 14, 15 years, and I saw some things that I really liked doing and some things that I thought could be improved on. And this wasn't a 2 or 3 year process. I mean, right. I had patients all the time were telling me, hey, you should start your own practice. And I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And you know, my wife, Lou, she's a great mind, great business person. And I had the partner, you know, to right. really do it with. And, you know, cause I certainly, like, I have no business background right. at all. And I couldn't build a practice and try to manage it, you know, all at the same time. So literally one night, kind of in October, we were sitting there on the couch at 10:30 and maybe a glass of wine in our hand. Maybe not. and we were like, you know what, let's do our own clinic. We incorporated that night on LegalZoom, and somehow miraculously 4 months later, we opened up the doors.
So talk about backtracking a little bit, talk about the patients, because I think a lot of times business owners will go too quickly. They'll go to market too quickly. They'll quit their job too quickly. They'll jump in with both feet too quickly. So talk a little bit about patients, because obviously you mentioned that a lot of people were telling you that you should go start your own practice and stuff like that. How did patients play into that?
It's a good question. I have students ask me all the time, you know, hey, I want to do this. You know, how do I do this? And I tell them, you know, I did a lot of free stuff for a very long time
yep.
that didn't pay off that week, that month, or even that year. You know, so you got to establish your name. And like I said, I've been in Raleigh since 2000.
Yep.
And I think if you do good work and, you know, do it for the right reasons and kind of get your name out there and stay in the same place for a long period of time, then your growth is kind of organic. Like, I technically don't take new patients. I personally don't, unless the doctor or the patient specifically asked for me. And that's because just of all the self-referreds and organic
right.
growth that we have. I'm very, very fortunate to have 6 other physical therapists on my staff who are tremendous, and they take the rest of the load. But I wasn't ready to do it. I wasn't a place in my life to do it. And a lot of it is I didn't have the partner backing me up, you know. And
yep.
I remember, I don't know if you know this part, Alex, we've talked a lot, but I spoke with a nationwide company that would front you the seed money or whatever to
right.
start your own practice. And we talked to them on the phone, and long story short, at the end of whatever the relationship is, I would get 35% of the company, and
right.
and Lou's like, why are we going to do all this work and and you get 35%.
Yeah.
And you know, some of the things they offered were helping you find a space. Well, I know some real estate people here, help find staff. Well, I know a lot of, you know, PTs and staff around here. So we just kind of took a leap of faith, went on our own. A very good friend of mine, Kevin Young's down in at ECU. He has his own private practice, he and his wife, and we picked their brains and they shared their experiences. And so kind of led us in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, I think patience plays a big key, because, and that's kind of what I'm going through right now in my life and my career, is putting in the time. And it's that hustle, right? This is why it's called business hustle, because business hustle, I think, takes a lot of different forms. Early on, you're hustling and it may not feel like business, but I think it applies to your future business.
Yep.
And so those 10 years where you're grinding away, you know, putting in, I'm sure, extra hours, you know, going to speak as much as you could and getting involved, that pays dividends years down the road.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, the hustle never stops. I mean, you're a hustler, you're not a hustler. I mean, some people would say we're successful already, and numbers-wise we are, but, yeah. You know, I've got 21 employees, which equates to 21 families that rely on us to do the right thing and keep it going. Last week, I mean, you see my eyes, good thing we're not on TV. You know, I'm a little tired, but, you know, I started seeing patients at 6 a.m. and saw patients all day long, you know, work through lunch, and then we went to, you know, Hoop City in Durham and gave a 3-hour talk to 300 basketball kids.
Why do you think you don't take your foot off the gas? Because a lot of people in your situation right now could say, I've got 21 employees, I'm seeing a lot of patients, I've got a good clinic, I can take my foot off the gas. Why aren't you taking your foot off the gas?
It's fear of failure. You know, I don't want to fail at what we're trying to do. You know, I don't want to let my employees down. I don't want to let our patients down. My staff, you know, they always say, you can always say no, you know, in terms of about getting a patient in. And that's just not in my vocabulary. I feel like we do a very good job at our craft and our skill. And I want as many people to experience it as possible. It doesn't change my lifestyle or anything. It's just it changes my intrinsic, you know, lifestyle, you know, in terms of the way I feel that, you know, that we're providing and what we're doing. And it's, you know, the biggest thing is that fear of failure.
Well, and you know, and I go through that a lot too, because I've got a young family. I got a 4.5-year-old and 2.5-year-old, and I work a lot, you know, there because I keep telling my wife that what I'm doing right now will pay dividends, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the road. I could go get a job, you know, tomorrow, making 100-150 grand in 6 months. You know, I could get on that track, and I've had several opportunities to pursue that track, but that's not the right thing for me.
Yeah.
And so it kind of comes back to that patience, but also putting in the time to do the things that you're going to know, the activities that you're going to know pay off long time. Like, I'm sure as a young PT, there's lots of opportunities to make extra money and stuff like that, you know, picking up extra shifts and extra patients. Mm-hmm. But that in of itself is probably good, but it may not lead to longer term things like the networking and the relationships that maybe may not pay any money at the time.
Right.
But you're building those deeper relationships that you can, you know, cash in down the road.
Yeah, well, it's a good point. For the first 8 years I was a PT, I worked every other weekend at either Duke Raleigh or Rex Hospital to, you know, earn extra money. You know, I was young, go out there and, you know, pay down my student debt, you know, a little bit quicker. And then I did home health. You know, I'd work a 40-hour week, you know, at APC, and then do home health, you know, 3-4 days a week, and, you know, and even on the weekends. And you know, and that was mostly hustle to financially keep my family, you know, above board or whatever. You know, you mentioned the family part. You know, you have to have a supportive partner that understands your long-term vision. Sometimes it's easy to look short term and it, yeah, it's 20 grand more to do this, but you're going to hit a wall.
Right.
You know, between Lou and I, we have 6 kids. You know, when we started this, you know, it's either sink or swim. Well, sink was not an option.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like I could go back to my former employer and ask for my job back, you know, so it was, you know,
everybody. It's kind of like The Office when Michael Scott starts the Michael Scott Paper Company.
Right.
You know, it's like,
absolutely.
You're not going to get bought out by your old employer after 6 months.
No, maybe I want to buy them out.
Yeah. So, all right. So what was the biggest challenge getting off the ground? I know there was probably 1,000 of them, but what was kind of the biggest unpredictable challenge that you didn't see coming? Obviously, you know, finding money for everything is a challenge. Obviously, finding the right space and getting. But what was one challenge that you didn't see coming that was a big hurdle that you had to get over?
Well, there are two. One, Lou completely took care of. You know, in our profession, you want to get and network with as many insurance companies as you mm-hmm. can. I think more and more people are understanding that they're going to do self-pay kind of things. But still, if you're paying $800 a month for your health insurance,
right.
you kind of want to use it, yeah. you know? And so that's what typically takes a long period of time is getting in network with these insurance companies. And Lou was just on them and on them and on them. And like I said, we got it done within, you know, actually it was more like a 2.5 month period of time, because
right.
you can't get credential until you have a property to
right.
Mailing
address and all that.
So that, and then also it was a challenge, but it wasn't really a challenge. I mean, I worked for a large orthopedic group for 10 years. And, when I left there, I get it, business is business. I didn't get a lot of support, you know, from the doctors or whatever. But fortunately, North Carolina is what they call a direct access state. You
right.
don't have to have a doctor's prescription to go to PT. And there's four other orthopedic practices here in town. So I was able to talk to the doctors from almost every practice. And, you know, now I'm private. And they sent me a lot of patients when I was at APC.
Right.
Which was difficult for them because they're sending their patient into a Raleigh orthopedic
right.
building. But when they, now they're like, oh, well, it's going to be a lot easier because I'm just sending them to Holt PT, to Holt
right.
PT. We, you know, talking about branding and networking and doing your due diligence in terms of speaking for free and stuff. I mean, when one of the fears that I always heard about starting your own practice is you see a patient day one, you know, you get paid for 60 to 90 days from an insurance company. So
right.
you have to have carrying costs for three
right.
to 4 months. And a lot of times it takes a while to build up the business. So you're okay, crap, I may not get a paycheck for 6 months.
Right.
Most people can't do that. Well, by being here as long as I was and having my name, you know, as much as I did out there, I mean, the first week we were open, I saw 60 patients.
Yeah.
And so... And now you do copays, you know, so yeah. there's a little bit of cash flow early
mm-hmm.
on. I mean, people, you know, think it takes a ton of money to start it, and you can spend a ton of money, but
yeah.
without getting specific in the numbers, I mean, I got a small line of credit, and I used less than half of it
yeah.
and had it paid off in 3 months, and we didn't buy it. I mean, if you go to the clinic now, we've got equipment I never thought I'd ever buy.
Right.
But we didn't have all the bells and whistles to begin with. We bought what we needed. And then every dollar we made this first year, year and a half, 2 years, I mean, even now we're putting it back into the business.
I think that's so important because so many people, and I even get caught up in this with the podcast and with the video stuff I'm doing and with other stuff I'm doing. I've got to have this. I've got to have the perfect camera. I've got to have this. I've got to have the perfect that. And I think with business owners, it's the same way too, especially if they're coming from a place like you did from, you know, a 10-year orthopedic clinic. You know, they've got lots and lots of money to fund the PT clinic. And so it would be very easy for you to come in and say, okay, I've got to spend, you know, $1 million to get everything that I need
yeah.
and get it all set up perfectly. And then what happens if the patients don't come, you
yeah.
know, or it does take
yeah.
6 months. And so I think that was really smart to kind of, you know, lead with profits and, you know, pour money back into the business as
yeah.
you're making money, not massively into debt, you know, to fund the whole clinic.
We were so excited when we paid off that,
yeah,
the note, you know, and I couldn't imagine starting $250,000 in the hole, you know, because
yeah.
it's stress either way.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh my God, you know, yeah, we're making money, but we still have this huge debt
yeah.
that we're carrying. You know, it's, you just have to be smart about it. Like you said, pour it back into it. We chose to, I remember when we signed a lease on this place, you know, and it was probably more than I had envisioned that we were going to pay, but it turned
yeah.
out to be a great location for us. And, you know, people all the time were like, you should do it. You're going to be successful. And you can hear it as many times as you want to.
Right.
But when it's your name on the lease and everything
mm-hmm.
else, you're kind of, and you're going through this now, right?
Yep.
You know, you're like, you just never know. But to be honest with you, I remember the first day we had 16 new patients and Lou and I went home that night and we were like, what the heck have we done? You know, cause you know, all the paperwork and filing insurance companies, but honestly, 2 days later, we're like, we got this.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, you know? And after the first week, you know, we said, you know, this is going to be okay. Cause I always had budgeted numbers in my head
mm-hmm.
and I always, again, I'm not a business guy, but you know, I take you know, I do my budget based on 48 weeks of income and 52 weeks of expenses.
Yep.
you know, to kind of have a little bit of a buffer there. And part of our two root things that we really try to keep, you know, our business to is, one is we try to keep our rent down and our non-revenue producing positions to a minimum, you know, which, you know, almost every, you know, out of the 21 employees I have, probably 16 are revenue producing people, right. You know, so they're helping, you know, the income part.
Right.
And
they're,
you know,
not just line item liabilities. No, or, well, you know,
you have to have support staff. Right. We have to have a billing leader. We have to have front desk. We have to have all this other stuff. But, and then, so we've stuck with that model. And we also feel like we've never overreached, you know, as, you know, you may want that new piece of equipment, but we wait till we got the money to pay for it.
You're pushing yourself, you know, to get better and to get a better clinic and stuff like that, but you're being patient at the same time.
With facilities, with staff, with equipment. You know, and I don't know, maybe some of that's to the detriment. I mean, I moved out of one location to another location across the hall, you know, fairly quickly, thinking that was going to be the end game, buy me time, and it's not.
The forever home.
Yeah, and so... In hindsight, you know, maybe that was a mistake, but everything works out for the reason. And it's all been timing and luck. And, you know, again, I think if you do a good job and
what do you think luck plays into this? Because this is a conversation I have a lot with people. Do you really think you're lucky? Or do you believe the mantra that, you know, luck is where preparation meets opportunity?
That's what I was going to say. It's not luck as in like a lucky, you know, rabbit's foot or whatever. I hear people all the time and say, like, I just need a win. You know, I need something good to happen for me. Like, it's not going to happen unless you position yourself for that to happen. And it's not going to happen every time you need it. But I think, you know, we talk about how quickly we get things done. I mean, it's maybe we're announcing it here that, you know, we're looking on acquiring land and building a facility that will be top notch in Raleigh. And Lou's already thinking about how we're going to put patients on the schedule, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, honey, we don't even have the land yet, you know, but the reason things happen so quickly is like when we do get the land, we do it, then it's going to be boom. We've got everything lined up or ready to go. So there's, as any business owner will know, and maybe I can get some advice from some of your future, guests, but it's very hard to turn it off, you know, in terms of what you think. And,
well, and I think the luck part, so this is a conversation I have with a lot of people about, you know, some people I talk to say, you know, there's just cosmic effects that, you know, you can't change, and, you know, ultimately you're just up to fate, right, of these uncontrollable forces of, you know, with you it may be, you know, I mean, obviously, like, the legal side of things of what laws are passed and of, you know, maybe... Yeah. You know, if North Carolina's changed from a direct access to a non-direct access, or obviously the healthcare plays a big part into it. There's certain forces that you can't control. So obviously some of these higher level things do come up to luck of, you know, things you can't control. But what my contention is that I try and put myself in as many positions to be lucky as possible.
Right.
That if I, you know... If you know, it's kind of like if you only buy one lottery ticket, you only got one, and I'm not advocating buying lottery tickets, but you only got one chance to win. But if you're putting yourself into positions to win as much as possible, then you've got a bigger chance to be lucky, as people call it.
Well, and you and I think people know you're my social media guy and my go-to and my guru and bounce ideas off of, but you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, he's a guy that I would say he's a mentor or whatever. And I think you think the same, you know, he's always big on take your strengths and run with it. You know, I think you can, you know, talking about position yourself, you know, buying more lottery tickets, I think you can spread yourself too thin.
And lottery tickets is a horrible example because it's, you don't want to go buy more lottery
tickets. We're located right across from Lifetime. They do a tremendous personal training business. We're physical therapists. We're not personal trainers. We're not going to – could I open up a personal training studio? Sure. Right. But, I mean, we try to stick with what we're really good at and just be the best at that.
Yeah. What is the biggest challenge of today running a business with the employees, with all of that? What's no names, no specifics, but I mean, is it the employees? Is it the backside business, the office stuff, the financials, trying to make all of that work? Or like, what are some challenges that you face of running a organization that has, you know, 21 people?
Well, Lou and I, the first few months we did this, we butted heads, you know, because we're trying to figure out each other's roles. You know, she always laughs, like when we were starting the practice, and she was worried about getting credentialing and finding a space. And I was like, we need a logo so we can print T-shirts. You know, I mean, my job is get patients in the door, market, promote it. And so the arrangement we've come up with is she doesn't really touch a patient. And I don't touch the money. I mean, we kind of keep it really separate like that. And it's worked out because I got to be the good, sensitive guy who's taking care of somebody in pain. Right. I can't be the guy like, no, give me your $70, you know, or whatever.
Or signing checks and, you know, stuff like that.
So, but the staff, and we heard this from Kevin and Jennifer, the staff is probably, I hate to say the hardest part because we have tremendous staff.
It's a burden of business ownership. It's not like you've got terrible staff and you're, but it's somebody calls in sick, somebody's going on vacation, somebody, you have too many patients cancel, making sure they're all fed.
You have 21 different personalities that you have to juggle. And 21 different responsibilities. And I think that's what makes us so good is everybody's a little bit different. You know, if somebody needs somebody who's, you know, a little bit, needs their hand held a little bit more, you know, I got a PT for that. And the hardest position by far has been kind of our front desk, you know, and that's the face of your practice, you know, when they first walk in. And we've tried from, you know, straight out of high school working in the summers to medical professional front desk people, and it's just hard. Nobody knows how to talk anymore. Nobody knows what customer service is anymore, and we won't accept that. The insurance is a little bit, one thing that's kept us grounded and, you know, I talked about not overreaching is you never know what's going to happen with healthcare. You know, we kind of got through the last election and it wasn't too damaging. But who's to say they're not going to come back and in the next election, we're not doing insurance anymore, you know? And it's like, you know, so I try not to
that
be
volatility.
I don't want to be overextended and, and a staff of 50 and 8 locations. And all of a sudden they're, you know, I think in physical therapy, there's always going to be a need. You know, our niche is the active athletic patient. You know, that's what we see. And people are always going to remain, hopefully, you know, remain active and athletic to take care of their health. And unfortunately, sometimes injuries happen. Or so we that's kind of our specialty, our niche. But, you know, I also, in terms of growth, you know, I've never had a number in my head of like how many patients a week we're trying to get to. I mean, if you saw our original projections that Lou and I came up with, we were okay.
Yeah, your 5-year projections become your probably, you know, 1-year projection or 6-month projection.
Well,
I mean, you're just
our 1-year projection was done after the first week. You know, it was like, okay, if we see 8 patients a day, you know, and so I have to learn how to when to step on the gas and when to pull. I never take my foot off the gas, but in terms of marketing, like I don't, this is my marketing, you know, t-shirts is our marketing. Social media is our marketing. I don't really go to doctor's offices. You know, we go give talks like at racket clubs and stuff. You know, I need to, I don't want my staff to be overworked, but I also want them to be productive and busy. So I'm kind of getting a decent feel and I've got some numbers that I look at daily or weekly to kind of get a pulse of where we are and know, okay, I need to, you know, stoke the fires a little bit or, okay, we can sit back and maybe shore up some procedures.
And you mentioned earlier you never take your foot off the gas, and I think a lot of people have the tendency to do that, to either do full throttle or off the gas, full throttle or off the gas. And I think articulating that throttle pedal a little bit more and finessing it a little bit more – You know, I mean, I'm the king of analogies. You know, in NASCAR, they're not flooring it all the way through the turns. They're modulating, and then halfway through the turn, they're accelerating. And, you know, there's all those different variables and stuff like that. And I think it's important in business that you do have to modulate the pedal a little bit, that when it's time to go full throttle, you go full throttle, but you don't want to be, you know, punching the gas when you need to be slowing down because you're going into a turn.
It's, like I said, it's a – I'm learning it every day. And I, you know, other business owners out there, my every time I get a patient on my table who's a business owner, I try to pick their brain a little bit. You know, I've got a guy who's 94 years old, has had an orthopedic practice, or sorry, a orthodontist practice for many, many years, and he's sharp as a tack. And I pick his brain and get some ideas from him. And I just try to learn as much as I possibly can because I'm not a business guy. Well, I guess I am now.
How have you grown as a leader?
It's probably, it was time for me to do it, to do that. You know, I'm kind of the fun, happy-go-lucky kind of guy, you know, the life of the party. And there's a lot of our employees who are my friends, you know, mm-hmm. or our family, basically. And I've had to learn to have the boss hat on and then also, you know, the friend hat. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, like, I kind of have to keep that boss hat on. You know, there's things that I can't do, you know, like, I love my staff gets together. They do socials all the time. And as much as I'd want to go and they invite me, sometimes it's good to let them be themselves without the boss around. Yeah. And so that's, you know, I've had to, you know, we take students, you know, we have interns. The more our staff grows, the more, you know, we like things done our way. Mm-hmm. And our way isn't like strict and stringent, but it's like just our philosophy. You know, there's a common thread through it. And so educating the rest of our staff and then being open to it. I think the reason we have tremendous staff, one is we pay them well. I mean, I think you get what you pay for. But two, we get the type of patients that a lot of sports orthopedic PTs want to work with. You know, they're motivated. Sometimes you got to slow them down, you know, and throttle them back. But they get, you know, quote unquote, the fun patients. And we're not for everybody. You know, I've had some patients who came to see me and we kind of mutually agreed, like, hey, maybe it is better to go to this other PT practice where you just get on machines the whole time. Right. And we're not for everybody, but, you know, we, like I said, we cater to a specific type of patient and to a specific type of employee as well.
Where do you think next 12 months, where do you think your biggest area of growth is going to be?
Well, it can't be inside the clinic walls because we're kind of out of space. We,
I mean, like personally, as a business, I mean, obviously, space, take space and financials out of it. Where do you think, what's a segment of the market that you want to get? And again, if this is, you know, you don't want to tip your hand, that's fine. But like, where would you like to see your company improve?
I think we can, we always say there's a certain type of patient that we specialize in seeing. And you never get to 100%. Your caseload's never 100% of that. I say we're probably 85 to 90% there. So maybe we'll get that a little bit further along if we, you know, in our new facility, our next facility, I think that'll help some as well. I think there's a huge opportunity for, I don't want to say, call it telehealth or telemedicine, but we're currently working on a project for basically an online version. Yeah. And I think that's going to be huge. I mean, it takes our brick and mortar walls, and now we have virtual walls, which is all over the world. And, you know, so I got a partner in that. I can't believe I've got like four LLCs, which I never thought that I have. But, you know, we're working on a partner in that. But it makes sense. You know, not everybody. I got social media, for one, is huge. I want mine to blow up on that, and we're working on a couple of things, and you've been tremendously helpful with that. I had a guy who reached out to me on Twitter, and he is 10 hours north of Toronto, you know, and there's no good PTs up here. You know, can you help me with my shoulder? There's tons of things like that. Had a person flying from New York City who, you know, was looking for some good PT. There, time is an issue now. Cost is an issue now. And I think if we do something kind of online or on demand, we can make it more cost-effective and more time-efficient for them. And obviously, there's some things I can't put my hands to the computer and do some deep tissue work on somebody or arrange a shoulder, but there's a lot of things that we can do, and I think that's going to be a huge area. There's tons of programs out there now put out there by trainers or strength coaches or whatever, but there's nothing really out there to help an injured person recover.
Yeah. Thanks for being on my first episode with a guest. I think everybody will agree that this is a lot better than me rambling on by myself last week. And this is a process we're trying to still work out bugs and stuff like that. And I'm sure, you know, when we reach episode 100, we'll have you back on. But what's your kind of your final tip for people who are either starting a business, thinking about starting a business, who are grinding away, what's your one tip for business hustle?
The last word you said there is hustle. And, you know, get your mind set on what you want to do and then just go with it. I mean, you have to be in a position where you can take a little bit of risk, but you're risking yourself. And that's, there's only one person who can control that. I'd also start small. Again, you don't have to have the fanciest place, the fanciest equipment. You know, get it started and set the precedence and the business model and roll with it. Pick everybody's brain. You know, the more people you can talk to, the better, especially business owners, because they've been doing it for a long, long time. They can tell you where they failed, where they didn't fail. I mean, I failed, you know, and one guy, last piece of advice, told me, he goes, if you make a decision about something, don't be too stubborn to like say, oops, I messed up, let's revert and change our direction and go there. I mean, the worst thing is you can keep going down the wrong road after you made a bad decision. And, you know, and then also get good people around you. I mean, no matter if you're one person, two person, or 25 person operation, you need to have good people around you to help support you.
You know, I always heard, make your mistakes quickly. Make a mistake, recognize it, analyze it, and then get over it. Yep. Don't you know, making a mistake is bad enough, but dragging that mistake on for 6 months or a year or months or weeks or whatever only compounds it. But you just need to make your mistakes. You know, everyone's going to make mistakes. Get over them and move on.
Yeah. Well, I also think you have to be different. Be a little different. You know, there's 100 physical therapy clinics in Raleigh. People can go anywhere they want to. Why do they choose to go to you? If you're a bakery, why do they choose to go to your bakery instead of, you know, another bakery? Be different. And I think the one thing that, you know, can be used across every business is compassion. Like, treat that person like they're your best friend, your good friend, because then they're going to remember that and they're going to go tell the rest of their friends. And that's how you grow a business, no matter what it is.
Yep. Well, thank you for your time. And, you know, I appreciate all that you do for me and the example you are of business hustle in the community. And we look forward to seeing what's in the future for you.
Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it, man.